بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last week we commenced our discussion related to the suppression, the oppression and the tyranny that is encountered by the Uyghur Muslim community of the northwestern region of China. In the first part of this discussion, as a preamble to the second part, we spoke of the history of Islam in China and how Islam had reached that region, the establishment of Islam, and of course the role of the Muslim businessmen and the Muslim merchants who established Islam over there and who are responsible for the spread of Islam in that region of China. Now, for the past 70 years, the government has been a communist government, right, for the past 70 years. And this is since 1949, when China was declared the modern communist country of China, which already spells trouble for the world, especially for those who wish to exercise and practice their religion. So now the government has control over every aspect of a citizen's life, every aspect of a person's life, they have control of it, including your religion. Right? So they control your religion. The government has taken charge of all the masajid. All the masajid are run by the government. The government appoints the imam. The government trains the imam. They are trained in government-run madrasas. So they are madrasas, right? And we spoke of these Muslims. We are speaking of mainland China, Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, right? We're speaking of the Muslims over there, and we said they were the descendants of the Muslim merchants who went over there and who established Islam in that country, and they are known as the Hui Muslims. They form one of the 56 ethnic groups that are found in China, the Hui Muslims. But we find that the madrasas that the imams have attended are state-run madrasas. You are not allowed, you do not have the permission, you cannot even obtain a license to establish a madrasa of your own. Again, drawing your attention and my attention to the fact that, alhamdulillah, we enjoy the level of freedom in this country. In fact, there are some Muslim countries, and we are well aware of this fact, that deny people this right of establishing madrasas, establishing makatib. And, you know, it is the beginning of a new year. Generally, in the beginning of a new year, we are concerned of our child's education and the institute we wish to enroll our child in. Let us also show a greater level of importance to the madrasa and the Islamic training of the children. For wallahi, we can attribute the preservation of Islam in South Africa, in this part of this world, what we enjoy in the form of Jumu'ah, freedom of Jumu'ah, the freedom to establish a masjid and a musalla, even in a public space, in a commercial center, in the different airports that we have in this country, we can attribute this to a large extent, to a great extent, we can attribute it to the afternoon maktab madrasa system that we have in place in this country. Alhamdulillah. And this should not be taken for granted. So they do have madrasas there, but they are state-run madrasas. They train the imam, okay, and then the imam is put into these positions. You have the imams of the different masajid over there, and none of those imams are hafiz of the Quran. You have huge, huge masajid, right, mainland China, but not a single one of those imams are a hafiz of the Quran. They have just learnt, or they are just taught, allowed to learn that amount of Quran that they are required to recite in the salah. None of them speak the Arabic language. They are not proficient in the Arabic language. In fact, I was listening to a scholar who recently visited China. He went with a group of Muslims to learn about Islam and the history of China and that part of the world. And he says that they do not even recite with the basic rules of tajweed. Basic rules of tajweed. This is the imam. He says to such a point that one of my members who were in the group after the salah, he asked me that, according to what qira'ah is that? You know, you have the 7 or up to 10, according to some up to 13 different ways of reciting the Qur'an, the different styles and dialects in which the Qur'an is recited. It was so different to the Qur'an that he recited as a Muslim that he actually taught this with a different dialect. And he says, no, it's just that lack of tajweed. So, the lack of deen education. This is in mainstream China. The level of suppression in that region, in that country, has prevented the Muslims from progressing religiously. You are not allowed to have a halaqah in your masjid. You can't have a halaqah. You know, alhamdulillah, we are so fortunate. On a weekly basis, almost every day in the week, you have one sheikh or one alim or one ustaz who has a program for the general masses. A halaqah, a circle of knowledge, opportunity to learn some tafsir, some tajweed, some to brush up on my recitation of the Qur'an, my rules and laws pertaining to salah and wudu. We have this halaqah, or this type of a training, or these type of programs that are happening almost every masjid and every musalla in our country. There not a single such halaqah takes place. Why? Because there is a restriction on the part of the government. So these people, brothers, you know, and we haven't even come to the Uyghur Muslims as yet, these Muslims are craving and are desiring to have the opportunities and the privileges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to enjoy. Now let us go to the Uyghur Muslims. The Uyghur Muslims of China, they are the ones who are suffering the highest level of suppression and injustice. If you thought that was suppression, if you thought that was oppression and that was an unfair form of restriction and confinement placed on the Hui Muslims, wait until you hear what's happening to our Muslim brothers and sisters in the northwestern, far up northwestern part of China, which is now today known as the Xinjiang province. Okay, so you have the Uyghur Muslims, and they are the most ancient of Turkish tribes. They are not even Chinese. They don't even speak the Chinese language. They do not speak Mandarin. They are not Chinese. They are originally of Turkish descent. In fact, one of the most ancient Turkish tribes, and they formerly inhabited East Turkistan, that region where they are located, which is known today as the Xinjiang province of China, right, which was annexed by the Chinese government. That region is formerly known as East Turkistan. And you'll find also many people, activists and so forth, they refuse to refer to it as the Xinjiang province, but still maintain and refer to it by its original name, which is East Turkistan. The Uyghurs have a history of more than 4,000 years in East Turkistan. That is how long they have existed in that region. They occupy a region known today, as we explained, as the Xinjiang province. And we spoke of the famous Silk Road, right? We spoke of the famous Silk Road, the Muslim merchants who were given the license officially by the emperor of the Tang Empire. He officially gave them a license to establish a commercial center in the city which is known today as Xi'an, right? We spoke of the city of Xi'an and where they established this commercial hub. And Xi'an, the city, was right at the beginning of the Silk Road. And this very Silk Road, it passed through this region. That Silk Road, which we said, right, it started in Xi'an, okay, the Far East, and spread right through all the way beyond Damascus. That famous Silk Road, and we spoke of the great progress that were made by civilizations and cities along the Silk Road due to the Silk Road. So you can only imagine what they had enjoyed in that region, given the fact that it had a very strategic point when it came to the Silk Road. So that is where it was situated. And this Eastern Turkestan, or the Xinjiang province, it was an independent state. It was never part of China. Now, when did Islam get to that region or to that area? Right, so the Uyghurs, they embraced Islam in the 9th century. To be more specific and accurate, 934. Right, so this means that Islam is there over 1,050 years. Over 1,000. Islam is about 1,050 years old in that region. We're speaking about the region where the Uyghur Muslims are based. Islam flourished, subhanAllah. Islam in that region, we don't hear much about Islam in that region and in that area, but Islam, you know, it really flourished at a rapid rate during the 10th century and beyond the 10th century, of course. There was a capital, the capital of that kingdom at that time, known as the Kashgar city. And this became one of the major learning centers of Islam. The Kashgar city, which was situated, and the capital, in fact, of eastern Turkestan. Islamic religious institutions flourished, subhanAllah. So Islam, really, they took Islam to a new level in that area. Hundreds of well-renowned Uyghur Muslim scholars emerged from that region. Thousands of valuable books, right, on all different types of sciences, Islamic sciences, when it came to language and so forth, especially related to the Turkish language and sciences related to their culture and so forth, were written over there in that area. It became known as the Islamic Uyghur Kingdom. That is how strong Islam was established in that region, in that kingdom, that it then became known as the Islamic Uyghur Kingdom of East Turkestan. It maintained its independence, alhamdulillah. And you know, this reminds us of what we discussed when we were speaking of the Rohingya Muslims. The Rohingya Muslims, right, of Myanmar, the Rohingya Muslims, they too belong to an independent state. It was known as the Arakan state, right? It was known as the Arakan state. So they had their own independent state, which was annexed by the Burmese government. Okay? And as a result, ethnic cleansing took place because of the disparity in the language and the culture and, of course, the religion. So here you have a similar situation where Eastern Turkestan was an independent state, a kingdom of its own. And it experienced great prosperity. It experienced great success during its days of independence. It maintained its independence until the Manchu. You had an empire, right? Manchu, known as the Chinese Manchu Empire. And they invaded this nation in the 18th century, 1876. That is when they invaded that region, which was known as East Turkestan. The present population, or we'll come to the population at a later stage, inshallah. So there was this war that took place due to the invasion of the Manchu Empire. They invaded that region, and after 8 years, it lasted for 8 years. It was 8 years of a bloody war that took place. The Manchu Empire formally then, so you're looking at about 1884, right? Around 1884, they formally annexed East Turkestan into their territories. That is, they incorporated East Turkestan into the Manchu Empire. And they were the first to refer to it as the Xinjiang province. Right, and what does Xinjiang mean, right? Not that I'm expert in the Chinese language, very, very far away from that. But what does it mean? It basically means new territory, because they now had new territory and they incorporated this new land and this new region into their domain, and that is why they refer to it as the Xinjiang region, which means a new frontier or new territory. The entire East Turkestan region, it was illegally, as we know, right, it was illegally incorporated into the Manchu Chinese Empire. Then let's move years ahead. Now we're in the year 1911. In 1911, the nationalist Chinese government overthrows the Manchu Empire, right? So they overthrow the Manchu Empire, which means that East Turkestan, right, now known as the Xinjiang province, each Turkestan fell under the rule of the nationalist Chinese government. The Uyghurs, obviously, because now they were suffering already back then, they became the victims of oppression. They became the victims of suppression. They became the victims of great degree of injustices perpetrated against them. So they always wanted to free themselves. They always wanted the independence that they had once enjoyed before this war that broke out between them and the Manchu Empire. So we find that they staged numerous uprisings against the nationalist Chinese rule. There were two major uprisings that had taken place in the years 1933 in the year 1944, there was another uprising, and eventually they did succeed. They succeeded in setting up an independent East Turkestan Republic. Then you have the communists. We spoke about the communist government of China. That was now 1949. We're going to 1949, 1911 to 1949. For a very short period of time, they did enjoy a level of independence. But then after 1949, when the communist government of China took control of the government, then they incorporated East Turkestan Republic into its domain. And it remains such up to this day. Coming to the population in that region, right, so you have presently there's a population of 18 million people in the Xinjiang province. The Uyghurs, they are really sizable amounts. Subhanallah, a very big chunk of the ummah. From the 18 million, 8 million. 8 million. You have different ethnic groups over there. The biggest ethnic group, right, they are the Uyghur community, and they are approximately 8 million in number. And they are the ones who exist in that region. Let us look at the current situation of the Muslims living there, again known as the Uyghur Muslims, right? So we have learned they have nothing to do with the Chinese, right? They have their own ethnicity. They speak their own language. They have their own culture. And alhamdulillah, they are very passionate about the Islam and maintaining Islam and living their culture by the principles and the values of Islam. Firstly, there is the suppression of deen. Allah, we might have heard of this over the past decade. Look, the suppression and the oppression has been continuing, right? For the past century or so, up to 60, 70, 80 years. But now there has been some resistance, naturally. Okay, you are going to suppress, oppress a people, expect some resistance. That is what is happening in Palestine, and that is what is happening everywhere. The moment there was some resistance from the Uyghur Muslim community, what did they say? See, Al-Qaeda, terrorists, Islamic State, IS. Okay, and they have nothing to do with those groups. All they are doing is fighting for what belongs to them. Okay, and resisting the suppression and standing up for justice and fending off the oppression, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to as a great level of ibadah. Man qutila duna malihi fahuwa shaheed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you die while you are fending off somebody who wishes to usurp your wealth, you are a shaheed. وَمَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ عِرْضِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. If you are killed while you are defending your reputation and your honor and your dignity, you are a shaheed. You receive the reward of a martyr. Okay? So it's what Islam calls for, that you do not allow this type of suppression and oppression to take place. So, you find there's a suppression of deen. There's no Jumu'ah. You and I, we have the opportunity to come for Jumu'ah. We have the opportunity to come early for Jumu'ah. We have the opportunity to come to the masjid 5 times a day and even more if we wanted to. We have the opportunity to pray publicly, privately. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah. One thing we learn from this, right, is to appreciate this freedom of religion that Allah has blessed us with. And appreciating means by making most of what Allah has given you in the terms of your deen. We have absolutely no restrictions when it comes to our dressing, when it comes to our ibadah, when it comes to our fasting. They can't even fast. During the month of Ramadan, do you know what they do? Right? They have from the government, they say this is from the government, free meals. They don't give the free meals in Shawwal. They're not giving free meals in Rajab or Muharram or any other month. But in public spaces, right, there are tables that are set up there. And free meals are forced down the throats of those Muslims to ensure that they do not fast. Allahu Akbar. What level of separation? They are forced to eat pork. The Muslim girls, you have the majority in China known as the Han, H-A-N, right? The Han Chinese. They are the majority in terms of the different ethnic groups that you have there. Okay, government. And all you find that they are Han. Han never existed in that region, the Han Chinese. But what the government has done recently is they have encouraged thousands and millions of Han Chinese to move into that region. Okay? So many of them are moving in that region because they wish to now establish assimilation. forced assimilation, right, between the cultures. So you have the Han moving over there. Now and again, you always find there's confrontations between the Uyghur Muslims and the Han Chinese, right? Because the Han Chinese obviously consider themselves to be superior to them, and there is this level of oppression that is carried out against them on a daily basis. So you find that our Muslim sisters, brothers, wallahi, our Muslim sisters in that region, they are forced to marry Han men. Right? They are forced to marry them, live with them. And recently, I mean, just yesterday, I heard of this. Previously, it's been happening for a while, but yesterday, again, there were reports of authorities stopping Muslim women who are wearing long skirts. They are really, you know, practically, physically stopping them, and they are cutting their skirts so that it becomes miniskirts. Let alone hijab. We have the freedom for hijab. We have the freedom to don the niqab. Okay, they can't even wear long skirts. So they are taking them and cutting off these skirts, transforming it into miniskirts. There are checkpoints, you know, like similar checkpoints that we have in Palestine, in Israel. You have checkpoints. This is all, you know, very strategic and well-calculated methods that they are using to suppress these people and oppress them. And it should be a concern to us, to every one of us. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if the affairs of the Muslim ummah does not concern you, then you do not belong from this ummah. You do not belong in this ummah. The affairs of the Muslim ummah must be of concern to you. It must be something that's close to you, something you want to read about, learn about, even if you can't do anything about it. There's not much we can do in terms of assisting these people. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the power of dua. I always say, do not underestimate the power of dua. أَتَهْزَوُ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَتَزْدَرِيهِ وَلَا تَدْرِي بِمَا فَعَلَ الدُّعَاءُ Imam Shafi says, you underestimate the power of dua. Right, you don't have to see the result. The result is in the hand of Allah. You need to make the dua. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, what did he say? He says, I don't have the power and the ability to answer a prayer, but Allah gave me the ability to make a prayer. The ability and the power to answer that prayer is in the hands of Allah. You don't know. You don't know. Perhaps through that one dua that you make, one sister in that part of the world is saved from marrying a Han person. You don't know. You will not see that result. One child is maybe spared the oppression. One person is spared the oppression in that part of the world. So what Allah has given you the ability to do, you should do it. One is the dua, one is the charity. Today, perhaps after Jumu'ah Salah, you wish to give out some charity. Give it out in the name of the suffering of the Uyghur Muslims. Through that charity, Allah will definitely bring some form of relief to some person in that part of the world. You don't know him or her. You don't have to know him or her. You won't even know what form of relief or comfort that person experiences. But you put yaqeen in that sadaqah, in that charity. Oh Allah, I have Muslims in that part of the world who are suffering great levels of suppression while I am suffering huge advantages of freedom. Oh Allah, through this charity, grant relief or comfort to one of them in whichever form it is in that part of the world. That is within our capacity. That is within our ability. Allah has given us that power. So we spoke about the numerous checkpoints, and it reminds us of the apartheid regime in this part of the world. You know, so there are checkpoints, and when you go through these checkpoints, by the way, only Uyghur Muslims go through these checkpoints. All right, the Han Chinese, they are excused and they pass through a separate gate. This is really scary, and this reminds us of the Inquisition. If you know a bit about the Inquisition of the 12th century, when the Catholics, right, they would send somebody to live in your home as an informant, right? And they would monitor everything that you do within your home. We're talking of things that we use, methods of suppression and oppression used in the 12th century that's used today in the 21st century. Right? So they have what they call, the government called this, becoming families, becoming family policy. What happens in this? It involves homestays. So a Han person comes to your home. I've been sent by the government, right? And I'm going to start living with you in your home. Brothers, wallah, I've seen documentaries on this. It's really happening. So you'll have a Han Chinese coming and living in the home of a Uyghur Muslim. Right? And what's his responsibility? He must see no acts of extremism takes place. What are acts of extremism? See if no alcohol. Okay, there must be consumption of alcohol must take place in this home. The eating of pork must take place in this home. Quran, undesirable, because undesirable instruments should not be kept in that home. Anything of this nature that is kept in this home must be reported to the government. Then, and the scariest part of it all, is you had, you know, again, I said, you know, methods of suppression and oppression that we used in them days that we can, you know, when we read about it, it's unimaginable, unfathomable that how did it happen? We go back to the German Nazi, the era of the Nazi Germans, and they had those huge concentration camps, right? You have similar camps, subhanAllah, similar camps, this has been happening. This is the most recent method of suppression that they have introduced, forced assimilation. They have built huge facilities. They never admitted to it until some activists picked up these facilities via, alhamdulillah for the modern technology that we have, via Google Maps and so forth. And they were forced to admit it. What's happening in these concentration camps? They have these huge buildings and facilities. And guess, up to over 1 million Uyghur Muslims are forcefully detained in these camps. Allahu Akbar. And what happens there? It's brainwashing. What happens there? They are basically forcing on them assimilation and the transformation of their culture and their Islam into the culture of the Han people. So they're forced to eat pork over there, right? They're forced to sing the anthem on a daily basis. They are forced to learn certain things and certain phrases. In support of the communist government of China, they are forced to eat pork, they are forced to consume alcohol, they are not allowed to pray. 1 million Muslims, brothers, 1 million of them that are kept in these facilities and these detention centers in that part of this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware. We might be unaware, we might be unmindful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of the acts of suppression and oppression that is being carried out against the Muslim ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly take those who are responsible to task. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief in that part of this world, in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to appreciate, to acknowledge, and to start taking advantage of the freedom that Allah has given us in our homes and in our country. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ